Tate from New Jersey. It's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
Happy birthday, Darren Patterson.
Aw, thank you. Yay.
Yeah. As we're recording this was Darren's birthday yesterday.
It was. It was a pretty low key birthday. Had some brunch with my family out here in Jersey. Had a lovely dinner with some friends, and that was kind of it. Nothing too crazy. Watched the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
And that was
nice.
It. You know, yeah. Once you get to a certain age, you don't ball out like you used to. Just hit up the clubs or go on a binge drinking spree through the streets of New Orleans and raise all types of hell. You don't do that anymore.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say you weren't really tearing up the clubs beforehand.
John, you are correct. I wasn't doing that. I was having very lovely roller skating parties and just getting down to the Bengals. Playing in the background, like you do in the 80s, like we
sure,
all did.
Sure, yeah.
At the roller rink, have some pizza and some high C.
Wondering if that yearning was an eternal flame.
Yes! Oh, my, don't give me, goddamn, that song is beautiful. It's an amazing song.
I never like that song. I like
other
songs, I never like that song.
Eternal flame?
Yeah, what don't are you, like what it. Are you, sappy ballad.
What do you got, what are you, Heart of Ice? That thing is beautiful.
I'm down, yeah.
It'll bring a tear to your eye. Come on, John.
Don't care for it.
Come on, John. Fix your heart. Where's the love? Come on. Oh, Pete's sake.
I enjoy the other Bengals songs.
What, Walk Like an Egyptian?
Walk Like an Egyptian's good. I like the Hazy Shade of Winter.
Ooh.
In Your Room. That's a great song. That's a banger.
That's a good one. I it wasn't until later that I realized Hazy Shade of Winter is actually a Simon and Garfunkel song. And I was like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah.
And that song kind of rocks, too. Their version's got a kicky beat to it.
That's true.
Yeah. So, listeners, go listen to Hazy City of Winter, either version. They both rock. They both kick ass.
Yep. That's our music recommendation of the week.
Mm-hmm.
40-year-old pop songs.
That's right. We're in the zeitgeist.
So, okay. Well, speaking of the zeitgeist, we got a person who's part of the zeitgeist hosting SNL this week. We got Harry Styles coming back to host for the second time.
Mm-hmm.
This is season 51, episode 15 from March 14th, 2026.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
The day before my birthday.
Yeah, the day before your birthday.
Yeah, Mr. Harry Styles, of course, was once a member of One Direction and then went solo and put out a bunch of albums and just apparently has an army of just screaming women around him at all times, no matter where he goes. Because, wow, this episode is just oops, all screams. Just so much screaming.
Whenever they have, some heartthrob dude host SNL, the screeching gets to be a little much,
and I mean I get it, but this was like screeching on another level. There were scenes where he literally just stood up and said one word and the audience was like, oh my god, oh my god, like Pavlovian dogs, John.
Yeah, I get it when you're like your favorite musician or one of your favorite musicians is hosting SNL. It's exciting, you're trying to get in to watch him, and it's like you're probably your only shot to seeing him give a little mini concert for free. So I get it, but as a viewer, it becomes a bit much to listen to.
Yes.
every single sketch.
It insists upon itself.
It insists upon itself. That's a good way to put it. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so shall we dive in, good sir?
Let's get into what we think about all of this, this stuff,
all this hoopla,
all the Harry Styles of it all,
this brouhaha.
Yeah. So starting out, we got Trump's gas prices cold open. Mikey and family filling up their gas tank on a road trip. And he's filling up the tank, and Ashley tells the kids, oh, we have to leave one of you kids behind.
Because
the gas just costs so much.
It's like $5. It is $5 a gallon out in Cali. It's It's pretty bonkers. So yeah, they're like, we have to leave one of you kids behind. And of course, Marcelo is one of the kids that's like, why are gas prices so high, Dad? And hey, JJ as Trump pops out, says, oh, it's because of the Epstein files. And we get another
Trump appearance as everybody freezes behind him and comments on the cast and blah, 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 blah. And you can probably write your own version of this at this point, right?
Yeah. But this one has a little bit of a wrinkle to it because we also get Colin Jost's Pete Hegseth in here, too, who just happens to be in the back seat of the car of this family.
Qualify as a wrinkle when he's appeared in the cold open for 3 weeks running?
But I mean, it is because like usually he's in the cold opens when it's like a press meeting. This one he's in Trump's normal ramble to the audience, freeze frame in the background. Totally different.
Okay. There were a couple of lines here and there that I liked. I liked the line, a promise is just a lie that hasn't happened yet.
Yes. And
he talks about Harry Styles at one point. He says the stock market is going in one direction, down.
Audience screams because he mentioned Harry Styles in One Direction. Right. Of course, Trump isn't familiar with his new music because he is straight.
Yeah.
And of course, he said things like, oh, look at Marcelo back there. He's still playing kids. He's like the SNL's little chihuahua. That sounds racist, but it is.
Yeah.
And points out Ashley Padilla, last name sounds Spanish, but I mean, just look at her. She's the whitest of white women. So yep. White.
Yep.
I did like as when Pete Hegseth got out of the car, like all these beer cans spilled out.
Mm-hmm. And he thanked Trump for the size 16 Florsheim shoes. Because apparently Trump is just like guessing at people's shoe sizes and then giving them shoes. And he's getting everybody's sizes wrong. But everybody is just too cowed to say like, hey, you got me the wrong size, or to exchange the shoes for the right size.
Yeah. Or maybe he is giving them the wrong shoe size on purpose, knowing that everybody's too scared to say anything. And he gets off on the power trip of that.
Maybe it's weird.
Either way, it's not good. Either way, it sucks.
It's a weird ass story. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a weird ass world, John.
Mm-hmm.
It's all weird, baby. This cold open, I mean, it has a few good lines here and there, but yeah, for the most part, it's whatever. Like, I think.
Yeah.
I think the show is.
It's just so by the numbers. It's.
Yeah, it is. Like, I think the show is making the same mistake they made with JJ's Trump. Because with Pete Hegseth, because like they realize, oh, people like Hegseth, so now of course
let's drive that into the ground. Yeah,
yeah. Like honestly, if they'd made an actual sketch around the family, and the issues with gas prices, I would have found that more interesting. Like there has to be a way to make a political cold open without using Trump or Hegseth or the other, players, I guess, in this weird administration.
Yeah, I wish we'd just go into like the effects of the Trump policies more. See the family taking a road trip, dealing with the increased gas prices. Let's see, I don't know, a group of soldiers worried about being ground troops in Iran, or let's see a thing about opening up the Strait of Hormuz. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, no, yeah. Let's see how this. How all these weird policies like are affecting average everyday people. Like I think like the most effective political sketch they've done is the mom confession one, the one on the Skarsgård episode, where like they're talking, the one that's like Ashley Padilla like was like the star in, and kind of that whole sketch went viral for a little bit. Cause like, yeah, it is kind of tapping into something about how it's affecting everyday people. And it's a political sketch, but it doesn't have any politicians in it.
Yeah.
So, like, we need. I think we just need to do more of things.
Do something about the Epstein files. The show's. It seems like it's hardly touched on those, except maybe to mention them in passing.
Yeah, it's. I don't know. Yeah, people just kind of are like whatever about it now at this point. Even though it's like a fucking horrible scandal, like people just seem to have just phased, which is even more troubling, where people just seem to be kind of unfazed by it now, which is like, ugh.
Yep.
No hay bueno.
Yeah.
No me gusta.
Anyway, not a great cold open. No. But
a great monologue?
What do you think about that Harry Styles monologue, huh?
Oh, Harry Styles monologue. Well, he comes out, you know, people scream, scream nonstop, you know, and he talks about how, you know, his career and how he makes songs about fruit that people just assumed about sex.
Yeah, he just really likes fruit people.
Yeah, come on, papaya, baby. He gets into it about queer baiting, which a lot of people have accused him of doing. For those that don't know, when people queer bait, it's like when a performer or an artist, they kind of act and do certain things and are a certain way that where you could insinuate that they may be queer or bi or, you know, or something like that. But that person never comes out and actually says they're queer or bi. They're very kind of, they kind of play their cards to the vest.
It's more valuable to them to have the mystique.
Yes.
Mystery.
Yes, yes. You get the mystique, the mystery. You seem more interesting. And you also kind of pull in the gay, queer audience as well. So, yeah. So people have accused him of that. And he brings that up. You know, he also talks about how he talks slow and he's kind of boring. I would take up jogging. Yeah,
when he started talking about jogging, I was like, wow, he really has nothing
to do. Yeah, those wild outfits are doing a lot of the heavy lifting in making him interesting.
Yeah. That he says, you know, as a British man who spent a lot of his life in the public eye, it's good to be boring. It beats the alternative. And they have a shot of the former Prince Andrew.
Ghoulish.
And shocked in the back of a car.
Just ghoulish.
Yeah,
absolutely ghoulish. And then he talks about his new album, Kiss All the Time, Disco Occasionally.
Yeah. And he's talking about how he does like to kiss all the time, and he's excited, and like we see various cast members coming out, thinking they're possibly going to get a kiss with him. We see Chloe come out. We see Sarah come out. He says, "Oh, you know, it helps if they're a good kisser and they're a good person." And Sarah just leaves, and she's like, ah.
"Damn."
And Ben Marshall comes out, and we have the first of several mentions of his bum.
Yeah, what is going on with Ben's ass? This whole show,
This whole episode. I don't know. Apparently, he's got some junk in the trunk. I can't say that I've ever noticed, but all right,
my man's caked up.
Yeah. And then we get a Harry and Ben Marshall kiss. So.
Yeah, you know, because, I mean, yeah, Ben, I have noticed Ben does kiss has been kissing a lot of men lately in these episodes. I was like, oh, is this his thing now?
Is that a thing? Is this a trend now?
I feel like, didn't he
been kissing?
Like, didn't he kiss Finn Wolfhard in that Harry Potter pre-tape, and then...
Oh, I guess so, yeah, because it was the heated rivalry thing, yeah.
Yeah, and then I feel like he kissed somebody, Josh O'Connor maybe, when he hosted.
Did he?
I believe so. I feel like he's been kissing a lot of dudes in these episodes.
Okay, apparently lately. I gotta keep closer track of this, Ben Marshall's kissing during the show.
Yeah, I'm keeping tabs on it, just, you know, for my records.
Have you put together, like, a supercut or anything?
I'm on it. I'm about to, you know, for the podcast.
For research.
All yeah. Right. Research purpose. That's it. That's a ticket.
Right. Yeah, that's what we call it these days.
Yeah. Monologues is okay. So.
Yeah, you know, it's all right.
It's all right.
Yeah.
It's all right. So next up, we got Sebastian Maniscalco, new lawyer. This one, I have writing credits for this one. It's written by...
What? Jake, you wrote this sketch?
No, I wish. Oh. They're
do
not
you?
Well, all right, maybe not this sketch.
Yeah, okay.
A sketch.
That's better.
Written by Jake Nordwind, Mike DiCenzo, and, of course, Marcello. It takes place in a courtroom. It's New Jersey versus Donovan. We see Tommy Brennan is on trial for stealing clothes from a department store. He doesn't have a lawyer, so the court has to appoint him a lawyer. And surprise, surprise, the lawyer... It's Sebastian Maniscalco.
Stand-up comedian Sebastian Maniscalco.
Yeah. Can you believe this? I'm a lawyer now.
I really wrote when I realized what they were doing. I wrote in my notes. I was like, really? We're doing this again?
I get it. I understand why they did it.
I don't get why we needed to revisit this.
I think because it,
was,
I mean,
was there any like, you know, fruit left on the vine here?
No, not really. But I mean, I get it because like Marcello is like a fan favorite. People like him. So this sketch is like has a lot of big, broad humor. And so I feel like that's the why they went with this. For that, I think they thought like, oh, this will appease the Harry Styles fan base and, you know, get some big yucks. Because, yeah, the whole thing is just Marcello's, you know, big, broad, very physical Sebastian Maniscalco impression where he's just like leaping over stenographers, doing donkey kicks off of tables, and just beyond physical throughout this whole sketch.
I mean, is it even that good of an impression, though?
It's good enough. I mean, it's not like...
I thought he sounded more like Dice, you know?
Oh, it's been a while.
I got more of an Andrew Dice Clay vibe from him, honestly.
It's been a while since I've heard Dice. I don't think... No, I sort of hear it, but I can tell it's Maniscalco, because Maniscalco has like this... Because I think he's from Chicago, so he has like more of a Chicago accent to him.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I can't believe this guy. This guy over here, it's slight Dice. It's like Chicago Dice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chicago Dice Tuesdays on Fox.
Producer Dick Wolf.
Chicago Dice. Oh, it'd be a great show, but but yeah, like it's, I would see how people's like your enjoyment of the sketch may vary. Like if you're not crazy about Marcello.
It varies in that there was very little enjoyment at all.
Yeah. I got some chuckles out of him, like kind of throwing his body all over the place and jumping over the stenographer and whatnot. And, you know, the fact that Chloe, as the courtroom sketch artist, had trouble drawing him because he's just, you know, flying all over the place. I mean, that's really it. I didn't write too much for this sketch because there isn't much.
Neither
to
did
this
I. I don't think there's much to say other than, really? They're doing this again?
Yeah. Just physicality. Just beyond physical upon physical. Let's get physical.
There's just not a lot there. And then, you know, at the end we have Harry doing his own Maniscalco.
Oh, yeah. And the audience loves it.
I thought this was pretty awful. And you know, again, it's just like, oh, really? We're leading off the show with this? Really? Really?
Yeah. Really? 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 Yeah. So
I'm not having a great feeling about the show at this point.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right, buckle up, folks.
I'm just telling you where I stand.
Okay. It's,
you know, we're going up and down like an EKG here.
Mm. Oh, I see what you did. Nice.
Yeah. So that gives us our transition into our next sketch, the pre-tape, My Hospital.
Yes, because are you somebody who loves the pit but can't stand its phony liberal science?
Yep.
And that's pretty much it. It's the pit, but instead of actual real science, they use the RFK Jr.,
America healthy again.
Yeah,
that's science.
Exactly. They treat their patients with beef talon and raw eggs and bull semen.
I mean, I did appreciate this because they were like aping specific cast members from the pit, and I've been watching the pit the last year or so.
Me too.
And I enjoyed that quite a bit. We had Veronica as she's basically Dr. McKay. Mm. We had Ashley as charge nurse Evans. She's like, hey, I'm a certified energy healer. And they're like pulling crystals out of drawers and stuff. I got the feeling that Ben Marshall was Dr. Whittaker, but they didn't really verify that. I don't think they were exactly the Pitt characters, but they were enough like the Pitt characters.
I saw Harry Styles was being Dr. Robbie, like the way he holds his stethoscope over around his neck. The way Dr. Robbie does. So, but like he wasn't really dressed up as Dr. Robbie. He was more embodying,
right,
the spirit of Robbie.
Right. So I mean, I liked you know, Ben saying, "Oh, my parents died from the COVID vaccine." Oh yeah, when I found out they got it, I shot them.
Jesus.
And when they find out a patient is a vegan, they pull the plug on them.
There's nothing we could do.
Yeah, and they say, "If your favorite character on The Pit was the guy who punched the nurse in the face, this show's for you."
Yeah, dude, that scene was insane. I was like, "What the fuck?" when I saw it. I was so mad.
That show's so good, though.
It's a good show. Folks, watch The Pit if you haven't. It's legit.
It's a great show. I had to watch half of it with, like, you know, through the holes between my fingers, the spaces in between my fingers, because it does get gory. It gets gory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If it's not for the faint of heart. If you're not crazy about the sight of blood,
maybe. I have to avert my eyes a fair amount, at least a few times per episode. But it's a great show.
Yeah. Oh, there's that one episode where, like, the guy took, I guess, too many boner pills and he couldn't get it down, so they had to, like, stick a needle and drain it or something.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Woo!
Woo!
Yeah. But I like this sketch. Oh, we have James Olsen Johnson coming in as RFK Jr. towards the end. And he brings in a bear, and they're like, "Oh, I don't know if we can save that bear." And he's like, no, we got to rescue him for jerky. There's a lot of good meat here.
Yeah. So not bad. My hospital. Yeah. Not too bad.
I thought it was pretty good. You know, one of the highlights of the show for me.
There we go. See, we're back on top, guys. All right.
Yeah.
Next up, we got Sparkle of the Sea. This one's with written by Chloe Fineman, Claire McFadden, and Brian Tucker.
Hmm. So we got a German cruise line. It's just kind of a promo of all the various acts we have there. It's a promo. It's co-hosted by Harry and Chloe as Goose and Lutke, I think their names were.
Yeah, I believe so.
And we got all sorts of acts. We got D Rowdy Boys, which was Jeremy and Jane Wickline.
Yeah, two Croatian rockers.
Yeah.
Then I think JJ was the R&B singer Jürgen Sexmüller.
Yeah.
Then we had Mikey as Felix Flourish, who is one.
Yeah, he's a magician, but he does so many flourishes. His one trick lasts an hour.
Yes, all flourishes. Then we did something that I was kind of surprised. Where at first they said, like, "Oh yeah, are you ready to laugh?" And then Chloe says, "No, wait, they need a minute." And then they just, like, are quiet for a second, and then, like, "Okay, now I'm ready to laugh." And then we see Keenan bringing back the character of Jean K. Jean, which I haven't seen.
A character I barely remembered.
Yeah. This was a big Weekend Update desk segment, like, way back in the day, like back when Seth and Amy were behind the desk.
Yeah.
Like, Keenan would pull this out and do it. So, yeah, you know, so it's basically a Def Comedy Jam comic, but, you know, talking about friendship. Like, man, brothers be eating some cassoulet, boy. Zut alors!
Yeah.
And he does a little dance.
Yeah.
Then they go into the Polish pop group, City Vogue Machine, which is Tommy and Veronica. And the two of them can, you know, actually sing. So that goes over pretty well. And they talk about how a cruise is just like a hotel, but you can drown.
Hmm.
Not a bad one.
I wasn't too nuts about this. Yeah, it went on a little long. It didn't have too much for me. I was just so-so on this at best.
Yeah, this sketch reminded me of, do you remember La Maison du Bain from the Kristen Wiig episode, the most recent one?
Yeah, vaguely.
This reminded me of that a lot. Like, it was kind of the same structure where, like, you know, that one, it was like a 70s French variety show, and it was Bowen and Chloe as the host, and then they introduced all the acts. Like, this seemed a lot like that, but I feel like that one had a little bit more spark to it.
A little more je ne sais quoi.
Oh, a little joie de vivre.
Mm-hmm.
A little bon vivant. Yes, mais oui. But yeah, overall, okay. I would say Sparkle, see? It's okay. Okay. All right, so now it's up for a sketch that I wrote down in bold text. There's no way Trumbull will like this one. It's Best Buy, Mr. Pooty.
You know me so well. In my notes, I have the word interminable.
Oh, God. Worse than it.
So we got a staff meeting at Best Buy before their shift. And Mikey is the manager, and he's like, hey, we got to tell you all about these changes to the rewards program. And we got Keenan as a Best Buy customer service rep named Mr. Pootie, who asks if he's being arrested for his sexual overtures to some of the men. And that's pretty much it. And it goes on for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, this one. Yeah, look, I usually try to defend.
Excuse me.
It's six minutes, this one?
In 6 seconds, yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, like.
No wonder it seems so freaking long.
Yeah, like, this one. Look, this one is, it's all Keenan, you know, just chewing up the scenery and playing it big and broad. And if that's your thing, that's how you like it. That's how you kick it. You're going to love this sketch. If that is not your thing.
That is not how I kick it. No.
That is not how you kick it. This will seem long. So this one's written by Sierra O'Sullivan, Will Steven, Brian Tucker, Claire McFadden, and Nasha Ward. And yeah, this one is, like basically you said, like Mr. Pootie thinking he was going to get arrested because there was rumors he manipulated the nipples of some of the men in the store. And, you know, he talks about Christopher, played by Harry Styles.
He's attracted to Christopher. And
Has very, very strong bisexual magnetism. Audience goes bananas, just, you know, because as soon as you say,
thinking about Harry Styles in a sexual light,
As soon as you say Harry Styles is sexy, the audience is like, oh my God! Oh my God! It may sound like I'm making
full Muppet, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I sound a little like Miss Piggy there, I realize that.
Mm-hmm.
But, as soon as you say anything about Harry Styles, the audience just like,
oh my God, Harry Styles, he's so sexy.
And it's, I don't know, that's really kind of it. And, like, I mean, at one point, Mikey Day, as the manager, tells Mr. Pootie, like, if you're going to be disruptive like this, I'll have to write you up. And then Christopher sticks up for him, saying, yes, it's true, I do find him sexy, and I have been manipulating his nipples on his birthday. And this one, the audience loves it, and I really don't know why. I really think it's because Harry Styles is in it, and they like anything he's in.
Yeah, I know. It's not the most discriminating studio audience SNL's had.
Really not. The audience is like too hot for this show.
It doesn't add to the show when they're this wild for the host.
Yeah, like I feel like even the performers are like, this sketch ain't that great. This is like we're not deserving of this sketch. Ain't deserving of all the screens it's getting.
Yeah.
All right, but then we get our hunky host doing a few songs. He does the songs Dance No More and Coming Up Roses.
Yeah, that's right. And he's got celebrities introducing him for the first number. He's got Ryan Gosling returning the favor from last week. He introduces Dance No More. And then Mr. Paul Simon introduces him for Coming Up Roses. So
Lauren's friend.
Yes, I've heard of him.
Yeah, he stayed up past midnight to introduce him.
Yeah, I enjoyed the first number, Dance No More. I thought, you know, good pop music. I enjoyed it. Good catchy stuff. Second one, you know, it's a ballad with a string section. I was a little less fond of that one, you know, but what did you think?
I thought they were both okay. Like, they didn't really send me. Like, I wasn't the hugest fan of, like, Harry Styles' stuff before this. I'm not super familiar with
I'm shocked.
Yeah, like, I don't mean... Look,
because we're still the target audience for Harry Styles.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I know. I read my Tiger Beat magazine and flip through the pages and look for Harry Styles pullouts to put on my bedroom window walls.
I mean, I am sure he's whenever Harry Styles sits down to record a new song, he's like, what is that 53-year-old white dude and that 49-year-old black dude? Think of this.
How are they going to receive this? I'm doing this for them.
Yeah.
I'm doing this for you, black dude, and doing a podcast in your closet.
Yep.
I'm doing this for you. You're my North Star.
Again, I should point out that Darren does this podcast literally in a closet. He's not figuratively in the closet. He is a happily married man.
Right. Happily.
Happily married man to a woman.
Yeah, to a woman.
To a woman.
Yeah. I've kissed her.
Just have to clarify that, because, you know, when we make reference to you being in the closet, we are talking about you actually physically, literally being in a closet.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I always forget that. I just assume everybody's in the closet with me. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah,
maybe they are.
But yeah, the songs, they're okay. I think they're all right. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I've heard his old stuff, and yeah, I think it's fine. Yeah. But yeah, nothing that
really I totally get the appeal. I see it. It's not my type of thing personally, but I'm just like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, it's no The Bangles, but I get it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's no. What's and I'm trying to think of another Bengals song that done. Heaven's a Place on Earth. It's Belinda Carlisle.
Or was it Belinda Carlisle?
Ah, solo Bangle. Work. Okay. All right. Well, there I go.
I mean, the Go-Go's were also good. Yeah.
Yes. Our lips are sealed.
Yeah.
They talk about us. So yeah, Harry Styles. It was cool.
Yeah. Okay. So the big question, do we think that Lorne Michaels knows who Harry Styles is?
I'm going to say no.
Yeah. I could go either way on this. I mean, he has hosted once before. He was hosting this week. I feel like Lorne would be aware of him in a host capacity, even if he is not aware of his music. And, you know, we've got noted Lorne friend Paul Simon.
Yes.
Introducing Harry Styles. So maybe they could have crossed paths that way.
See, that's a question. Does Paul Simon know who Harry Styles is?
I feel like Paul Simon probably does, yeah.
You think he's plugged into the music world like that?
He did that duet with Sabrina Carpenter on the anniversary special.
Do you think Paul Simon knows who Sabrina Carpenter is?
He appeared on stage alongside her, so I feel like he has to, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Jury's out on that one.
I'm going to give Paul Simon the benefit of the doubt. Lauren, jury's out a little bit. Yeah, maybe he knows who Harry Styles is. Maybe he doesn't. But he has hosted once before. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like Lorne is at least vaguely aware of Harry Styles.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's my feeling. Yeah.
I'll go with that. He's vaguely aware of Harry Styles.
He could maybe pick him out of a lineup.
Maybe. It's like, I believe.
Like, if you brought in the other four guys from One Direction, I'm assuming it was a five-guy group, right?
I believe it was a.
Most of the boy bands are five guys, right?
I believe it was five of them, yeah.
Yeah.
And one of them's no longer with us, but yeah, like I think it was five.
Oh, did one pass away?
You didn't know that? The Liam guy.
I'd forgotten that.
He like fell off the roof of a building or something.
Oh, holy shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it an accident or?
I don't know. I think it might have been under like odd circumstances or.
Oh my goodness. I don't think I remembered this.
Yeah, yeah. It happened like a year or two ago.
No. Liam.
Yeah, Liam Payne, R.I.P.
Well, damn.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to bring the party down. Shit.
Yeah, you really did. I'm all depressed now.
This is why I don't get invited to parties.
So, okay.
Weekend update! Colin Jost.
Weekend update. Colin Jost. Michael Che.
Michael Che.
I mean, I don't know if I want to go on without Liam being around.
John, we have to go on. It's what Liam would have wanted.
Okay, okay.
This one's for you, Liam.
Yeah.
This one's for you.
So let's see. We got jokes, you know, talking about the Iran invasion, war. What are we calling it? Excursion?
Excursion? Journey? What do you do? What do you mean?
Yeah.
I'm calling it a war.
Yeah, let's call it a war. Just said, you know, he's kind of jealous now that Iran has a leader that's under 80 years old. Must be nice.
Must be nice.
I liked his line about, you know, Trump apparently said that the leader is damaged, but probably alive in some form, which he said, you know, was a good description of Trump himself.
Yes. I like Che's last joke where they talked about the winner of the wife carrying contest is this couple from Finland.
Yep.
And the winner of the husband carrying contest, ScarJo.
Yeah.
Ha, got him.
Yeah, that's always fun.
That's a good one.
He makes fun of his co-host.
Yeah. And there was another joke I like to talk about, how the difference in finger size can reveal your sexual orientation.
Right.
And it turned out if your finger is over an inch inside of a fella, you might be a gay man.
Yeah, yeah. I liked they had a joke about there's a New Jersey school apparently that's possibly going to be renamed after Trump, and they're going to change it to the Trump Elementary Home of the Fighting Allegations.
Yeah, ouch.
Good joke.
Yeah, it don't look good for the Garden State. Not a good look.
I mean, where is that happening? I didn't research this story, but do you know where that's going on? Is that anywhere close to us?
I don't think so. It could be South Jersey. It seems like something South Jersey would do.
Oh, South Jersey. Ugh. You guys.
Yeah, or Central Jersey.
Central Jersey.
Yeah, we're Northern Jersey. We're upper class. We're not like those, rubes and ilk down in Central Jersey.
I mean, I have doubts that Central Jersey even exists, personally. But.
Oof. Don't let John Minus hear you say that.
I'll say it to John Minus. I don't care.
Damn! Whoa!
That's right. Bring it on, Minus.
Oof. All right. Wow, you are... Wow, you're a braver man than I.
Yeah.
All right, but then we get our first death segment. We got Jeremy Colhane coming on as Tucker Carlson talking about the Oscars.
What are we doing? What's going on?
Yeah. Written by, this one's written by Mars Perricone, Ali Levitan, Tucker Floodman, Maxwell Gay, Jeremy Colhane.
So wait, there was a guy who named Tucker who wrote on this? That's amazing.
Tucker on Tucker.
Wow. Okay.
You need a Tucker to write for a Tucker.
We got, and he's a real mother Tucker.
Hush your mouth.
We got, I'm just talking about Tucker.
And I can dig it.
Amazing impression, I think. I mean, just, he nails Tucker Carlson's cadence and his stupid, beleaguered white man persona. What are we doing? What's going on? That's the rule. That's the goal now.
Yeah.
He goes off on rants about the stupidest fucking things. Like, this is a man who, like, literally did an editorial about how the green M&M isn't sexy enough anymore. Why does anyone listen to that dude?
I don't know.
Yeah.
So he talks about the movies nominated for Oscars. He talks about Hamlet, because I guess you're not allowed to say Hamlet anymore. I guess they took the L and gave it to the GBTQ.
Yeah.
What are we doing? What's going on?
He would periodically just be like, look, can I finish? Can I finish? And then call
excuse
him,
me. Excuse me.
No one's interrupting you. But yeah, just he nailed the persona of like, his sort of perpetual victimhood.
Right.
It was a really great impression. I think one of the highlights of the show. I'd love to see Jeremy bring this character back.
Yeah, I think this might be the best thing he's done on the show so far.
Yeah, I would agree.
I know like a lot of people liked him in the that pinwheel sketch on the Nikki Glaser episode and the supermarket sketch on the Melissa McCarthy episode where he's giving away free samples. That was good there. But I think this tops both
really
of those.
Excellent work here. And yes. I think if they treat this right, I mean, it could be like another Jeanine Pirro. They could get as much mileage out of that.
Well, good point. I didn't even think of that. Well done. But very good. Very, very, really enjoyed this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so next up, they talk about how Apple iPhones will be getting some new phone emojis. Mm-hmm. So here to talk about that, they bring in one of the most used emojis, which is the red heart, and the least used phone emoji, the aerial tramway.
Aerial tramway!
And then we see Marcelo comes out as the heart, and of course Mikey as the aerial tramway.
Aerial tramway! Mikey was just throwing himself into this. He was giving it everything he's got. I'd love to see it. Yeah, Mikey just really elevated this through his performance a lot.
Yeah, like I could see this segment probably wouldn't have been that great if it wasn't for Mikey putting it over. Like the way
Mikey was just going for broke, and I love to see it. It was so damn fun.
Yeah.
And he was making Marcelo break a bit too, so.
Yeah, and like of course, like Marcelo has the heart, trashing aerial tramways, like no one uses you. Everybody uses heart for everything. And then, you know, Mikey's, you say, no, that's wrong, because people, you know, people, you can use me if you want to say, I'm going to the aerial tramway, or I'm on an aerial tramway, or girl got me going like an aerial tramway.
And they're talking about how they're hanging out with other emojis like them. Yeah, you know, the heart is hanging out with all the popular emojis like the crying face and things
thumbs
like
up.
That. And aerial tramways hanging out with orange square division sign, building with a horn in it.
Building with a horn on it.
I like this. I enjoyed it. I think it was maybe a little longer than it needed to be, but I mean, Mikey's performance just made it worthwhile, I'd say. So.
Yeah, like Marcello is cracking up. I think he's saying like all his friends are RBF, like right before the flags. Like all those emojis you see at the very end of the thing. And of course it ends with Marcello getting frustrated with him. Like he can't take him anymore. He's like, I'm going to go home. And of course, Colin.
Are you going to go home? And he has to admit, he's taking an aerial tramway.
Huh? Aerial tramway?
Yeah. And, you know, the costume was very funny too. So
yeah,
you know, he got the little gears above his head and yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, I do wonder if people are going to dress up as an aerial tramway for Halloween this year after seeing this sketch.
Maybe. I mean, if people have a long enough memory by October, I don't know. Do you think they would find some way to bring aerial tramway back?
Maybe. I don't know.
This one's... I honestly, this was strong enough that I honestly wouldn't object to it. They could drive it into the ground very, very quickly, as SNLs want to do, but
as they are,
I wouldn't mind like one more encore performance, you know?
Yes, run it back. yeah, like this one was a good one. I got some pretty big laughs out of this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so overall, not a bad weekend update.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty solid, pretty solid.
Yep. We got some Jost bashing. We got two solid desk segments, I'd say. Pretty solid.
Yeah, thumbs up.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next up, this one was interesting. White Castle Drive Through, written by Rachel Pegram, Jane Wickline, and Veronica Slowikowska.
We got a lot of team-ups between Wickline and Slowikowska. Right
it now. Seems like, to, yeah, yeah. It seems like they're the new team.
They're getting thick as thieves, these two.
Yeah. They are.
So we got Harry. He's like a high school quarterback. He's working the drive-through at White Castle. Not doing the greatest of jobs. And we got Wickline and Veronica as these two awkward girls who are, they want to ask him out to prom or to the dance, and they freeze up and then they panic and then they drive around and then they come back around to try and pull themselves out of it.
Yeah. I mean, I thought this was interesting just because of the setup of this sketch.
The logistics of it?
Yeah. Because, yeah. I mean, yeah. Because, like, I mean, a lot of times people kind of complain about modern day SNL is like the sketches take place in one room and they're like the, you know, the cast members kind of are standing in one spot. There's not a lot of movement. But, like, this one, you had like the drive through set and then you had inside the White Castle where you see Padilla as, you know, Harry Styles' boss talking to him. Right. And then they go to inside the car where Veronica and Wickline are. And it's like, oh, there's like a lot of moving parts here. It's like, it almost kind of reminded me of like the way they used to do SNL like in the 80s and 90s. Like, I was like, oh yeah, it's been a while since I've seen them a sketch like this involved.
Like, and then, you know, they're cutting to a bit of a film when we're seeing the car peeling out.
Yeah.
White Castle. And then they, you know, they, while they're doing that, I'm assuming they're backing the car up because then they have to make it look like the car's pulling up again. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I like the line about how, like, you know, they're 2 5s, but they want to ask out a 10.
Yeah.
And they're ecstatic when he calls them both 6s. He's like, and you two add up to a 12.
So. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I do like the lines when, like, when they see him and they freeze up. And, you know, it's like, oh, I want you to ride me to death, of course. And Veronica says, I'm a virgin, but I have a book that tells me exactly how it works.
Yeah. And then she's trying to ask him out, and she's like, hey, how's your penis?
Yes.
As you do.
Yeah, as you do. And, of course, I think there was one where Wickline was, like, saying, if we went all the way and if it came down to it, I want you to know that I wouldn't keep it. It's like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
And
I mean, well, it's good to know. It's good to put that up front.
Yeah, that's good to know. good to know. Your body, your choice.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I like the sketch.
I wasn't too nuts about it. I see the appeal. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not too terribly fond of Wickline.
Okay.
I like the stuff that Veronica is doing, but Wickline, I just don't find an especially versatile performer. So.
Okay. I mean, I think I like this one a little bit more than you, just because of the different. The way they kind of they're switching up the whole scenery thing, like the inside of the restaurant, and then the drive through, and then like inside the car. It's like, oh, there's like they're kind of doing a little bit of world building here. They're kind of building it out, and that's something they haven't seen in a while. Like even Padilla has some good lines asking, why are they doing donuts around the White Castle like that? Am I an impractical joker? Am I being impractically mm-hmm. joked upon? Like little things like that. I will say. The way they had the sketch begin and end with Keenan on the motorcycle, mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know if we needed that.
And then he came back later on, because he was taking this drive-through stuff on his motorcycle.
Yeah.
And then he comes back later on. He's like, oh, don't worry, I'm just taking it on the highway. And he comes back, he's all banged up. Yeah. I did like early on in the sketch, Ashley was questioning Harry Styles' commitment to his job. And he's like, oh, no, I am committed to this job. And he lists like a half dozen things he's committed to before the job.
Yes.
And he also apparently forgets to have people pay, which seems like a problem.
Yeah, that could be an issue. Oh, well, you know, teenage worker, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
But I didn't mind this one. I thought this one was okay. I thought it was all right. I liked it.
It didn't really send me, but, I'm not going to come down on you for liking it.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
There's so many other reasons I can come down on you.
Thank you, sir. God bless you. You're tough but fair, John.
This is what I strive to be, yes.
Yes. So next up, we got another pre-tape. She's a dancer.
She's an Irish dancer.
Yeah. Oh, she's an Irish dancer.
She was called on the YouTube.
See, why didn't they...
We're giving away the turn.
Yeah! Why didn't they just call it she's a dancer and then... Why do I have to say she's an...
I guess the, algorithm, stuff. They just want to make it easier for people to find and search. And people are going to remember the Irish thing. So it's like, yeah, we got Harry and a bunch of guys at a bar. They're meeting some girls and they're like, hey, and, this girl says she's a dancer. And
then
they get together and she's like, oh, no, she's actually an Irish dancer. And it's like, sort of Michael Flatley, Lord of the Dance type thing. So...
Right.
We're sort of staying still, but the legs are going crazy.
Exactly. And then there's part where Marcello brings a girl home, and the girl says she's going to cook for him, and she cooks Irish food, and it's cabbage stew and fish and cream of fish.
Yeah.
And, you're like, it's food you don't have to chew, which is good.
Yeah.
And, Wickline is with J.A.J., says she's really good with her hands.
Yeah. And cut to her playing the harp.
With her hair flowing.
Yeah,
and then the boys try to match their freaks by doing the Lord of the Dance stuff.
Yeah.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, kind of random. There's not much connection to anything besides the calendar, I suppose.
Yeah, like I saw this one with one of the writers was a Sierra O'Sullivan, and I think this means a little bit to her because I think if you look on her Instagram, she mentions that like when she was a kid, she did a lot of Irish step as a child. So. So I guess this whole sketch is like a nod to her Irish heritage.
Right. And all the action she got because of her Irish dancing, I'm sure.
That's right. Seducing men with her cream of fish.
Feminine
stew.
Wiles. Yeah.
Yes. Just playing the harp and feeding men fish.
Yeah.
Sexy. Oh, yeah.
And then lastly, we have Harry for Him. This is... Harry Styles introducing his new fashion line that he's selling through Target. and it's, he's just basically talking about how his personal style is very, very flamboyant, very adventurous. And we just get to see a bunch of the SNL guys in Harry Styles outfits.
Yeah. Like you were talking about those other sketches that you thought went on too long. I thought this went on a little too long. Because...
I didn't mind this in terms of length.
Oh, okay.
This worked for me pretty well.
Okay.
Four and a half minutes. Yeah. I think it was just right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, because it's mostly, we see Ben in like this Harlequin type of unitard with the plunging neckline that Harry wore.
Yeah. And again, commenting on Ben's ass.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, turn around and show me that thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sick. Sick boy.
You know, just all the SNL guys being very uncomfortable in this because, you know, not many people could pull this sort of look off. I don't think I'd realize that Harry Styles had so many flamboyant looks. But I like that they would cut to a picture of Harry Styles in the outfit.
Yeah.
And then do a split screen with the SNL guys.
Right. Like they showed one scene where JJ's like in this sheer blouse.
Yeah.
And they show Harry wore it and he says, oh, my wife said that he looked like the embodiment of elegant masculinity. When I wore this, my wife said I looked like a serial killer who was wearing the clothes of the women he killed.
Yeah. And we get Mikey in basically a little girl's dress.
Which he wore to work.
Yeah. The thing that like threw me a little bit is like Mikey is playing a character, but the other guys were playing themselves.
Yeah.
That was a little odd. I feel like we should have just picked a lane and gone one way or the other and just had them all the SNL guys playing themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. And then we had Sarah come on saying how she got her husband to wear one of the Harry's for him outfits to their divorce hearing. And the judge awarded her full custody. Thanks, yeah. Harry.
Yeah. I like this. I thought it was a funny idea. It was. I also liked how at Good Nights half the guys were still in their Harry Styles outfits. That was funny. It's going to be really hilarious if, like, in reruns, when they cut this down to, like, an hour, they cut that last sketch, and we just see all these guys in these weird outfits. Oof. With no explanation.
Yeah.
I always get a kick out of that, when, like, they're in some weird, inexplicable outfit at Good Nights, and you, because they cut the sketch that they were in, you don't know why they're wearing that.
Oh, boy. So I guess we're not doing the Mr. T sketch anymore, guys?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, never forget.
Oh, God, we need Zach Galifianakis to host again.
Oh, he's doing a show. Isn't he doing like a show on Apple or something?
I think. Okay. Maybe. Let's say yes. Sure.
Come on, Zach, come on, baby. Bubby, we miss you.
Yeah, we need more Zach Galifianakis. Just in general, just in life.
Yes, please, just more Zach in this world today. We need it now more than ever.
Yeah,
and that's the episode. Overall, not too bad. I thought it was okay.
Okay. Come down from last week, I would
say.
Yeah, we had a couple highlights. You know, for me, what did I like the most? Ma Hospital. The Harry for him, and also I'll say the weekend update segments. So
yeah,
those are all worth recommending. The rest is
Well, I'll say weekend update. Now I'll say the White Castle sketch. Like for me, I think it worked.
Okay.
You know,
all right.
I thought there was a lot there, but enough about us. What did you guys on the Blues guys think about this? What are you listeners? What do you think about it? See, we got our good friend Scott Hume chiming in saying, happy birthday, Darren. Thank you, Scott. He's so nice.
I don't think he said it in that sort of sing-song tone of voice.
Okay. He did. I that's how I hear it.
Okay, all right.
Like the Telegram singer in Clue. I am your singing Telegram.
And you know who that is, right?
Oh,
Telegram girl?
Oh, from the Go-Go's.
Yeah, Jane Wiedlin. Yeah.
It all comes together. All leads back to the Go-Go's.
It really does. Yeah.
Oh my God! Head over feet.
Yeah.
Head over heels. What's that song?
Head over feet was Alanis Morissette.
Oh shit! That's right. It's head over. Yeah. Happy birthday, Darren. Overall, I thought this episode, like last week's, was one of the stronger eps of the season, aside from that horrid DT cold open. Highlights for me were Weekend Update, Maha Hospital, and the White Castle sketch. Nice to see Jane and Veronica come into their own.
Okay. Let's see. Our friend Nick Storr says, great opening banter today, guys. What did we do for our opening banter last week? I don't remember.
I go into a fugue state when we do this podcast. I don't remember anything.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to it. But I'm glad you enjoyed it, Nick. I don't listen to us that closely, so.
I don't care for this podcast reel myself.
No. I don't care for one of the hosts. great opening banter today, guys. I was worried after the monologue, but Harry was a great host, throwing himself into everything. Today's episode felt like a passing of the torch to the newbies. Not you, Cam. No relation. Tucker Carlson and Irish Food, the highlights.
Nice. Hey, Deej from Wacky Notion Production saying, cold open freeze? Really? Not even Colin could save this one. I've always said...
We go to Colin as somebody who saves sketches now? Is that where we are as a nation?
In this country, that's where we're at? What are we doing? What's going on?
Yeah.
That's the rule now. That's the goal. I've always said that a key part of SNL is finding your person. Bill Hader had Mulaney, Mikey has Streeter, and now Jane has Veronica. So proud of both of them tonight, Jane as a stenographer and both in the asking to the dance sketch. Yeah, so there you go.
I mean, yeah, they seem to be a definite pairing. They seem to have hit it off. They seem to do a lot of stuff together, a lot of collaboration. I'm just still not nuts about Jane Wickline as a performer, personally.
But all right.
That's a me thing. Okay. I'd like to, you know what we haven't seen in a while? We haven't seen some fun JAJ and Dismuke's weirdness. I could go for some of that. Yeah.
It's been a while since we've gotten that. Now I think about it, yeah, Dismuke's really hasn't had a...
He's faded into the background a bit this season.
Well, yeah. What happened to my sweet baby Dismuke's?
Yeah.
Baby boy.
What they did to my boy.
What they did to my... They massacred my boy. My baby Mukes.
You got it.
There we go. Next up, Stephen M. Can't wait to hear what our 2 5s say to add up to 12.
Oh, they're calling us a couple of fives.
Ouch.
Thank you for being that generous.
Yes, actually, yeah, thank you for that. That really pumps up my feelings. Yeah. Nothing to stand out besides Irish dancer. Erin Cobra.
Nominal 2 just says, yeah, baby.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Austin Powers is burner account.
Yes, nice. John and I is saying, ooh, cannot wait to hear how Trumbull comic at bsky.social especially received the Keenan's big moment in the Best Buy sketch. The suspense of that one.
I mean, yeah, not well.
I think at this point people know that if it's a Keenan sketch, you're not going to...
Look, I'm not going to say he's never good. I'm just... I'm tired of him more often than not, you know?
Okay. All right, that's cool. You be you. You got to let your inner self shine, man.
I've just seen most everything in his bag of tricks. He's been on the show... What, how many years at this point? It's like going on 20, right?
It's at least, yeah. It's like maybe 25.
Yeah, I think, yeah, like babies who were born when he started are old enough to drink now. So it's nuts.
It's been a minute.
He was on when Amy Poehler was on, which just,
that
just seems weird.
It is, yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Like I don't know if it's the show doesn't want to let him go or if he doesn't want to go. But
I feel like it's a combo. I mean, you know, and like, certainly other people have been on for a long time. Mikey's been on for like about a decade now. He's now in, I think, the top 10 most featured performers.
Yeah, but I'm
still somehow not sick of Mikey. I still enjoy Mikey.
Yeah, I mean, Mikey finds new ways to kind of do different things. Like, but Keenan, like you say, he's been there twice as long as Mikey, and I feel like we've seen everything he can do. So I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. If we're wrong, let us know, please. But I don't know.
Let's see. At just me, Laurel Bush at blueskysocial says, I really only laughed at Ma Hospital. I'm going to have to watch it a few more times to catch all the jokes. I'm assuming they mean that particular sketch and not the entire show.
But... Right. I was about to say, you got to watch the whole show a few more times?
That was a densely packed sketch, and they did have a lot of good jokes in there, especially if you're a fan of The Pit. There are some nice references to The Pit in there.
Yeah. Like after I rewatched it for this podcast, like I did catch a few things I missed the first time.
Yeah. I was just like, oh yeah, they did some nice casting there and some good impressions. So
yeah.
I tip of the hat, you know, it was nice to see. Cause like we've seen a lot of SNL parodies of shows that I'm not that familiar with, so I feel like I'm only half getting the jokes. And here I was like, yay, it references that thing I know.
That's so, the thing I know. That's the thing I know.
I recognize that.
Yay.
I'm like Chris Evans going, I understood that reference.
Familiarity. I love it.
Yeah, exactly.
We also hear from Zen Zinnia. One of the best episodes I've seen in the last few years. Great cold open. The Kiss, several really funny skits, and solid weekend update. Loved Harry's musical performances, too. I feel like he could go into acting if he wanted to.
I mean, he's certainly a charismatic fellow. He's been in a movie or two, right?
Wasn't
he in, like, Olivia Wilde's movie?
He was in that movie, Don't Worry, Darling, with Florence Pugh. And he was in The Eternals at the end.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he played Star Fox.
Yeah.
Pretty good casting for Star Fox, I would say.
Yeah.
Who's one of maybe the more obscure Marvel characters. But
Star
Fox was an Avenger for a hot minute there.
Yeah, so maybe he'll be Star Fox in Doomsday.
People are clamoring for it because, you know, they love the Eternals so much.
Star Fox Nation, stand up!
I still haven't seen the Eternals movie. I need to watch that sometime.
It's different.
Yes, exactly. That's why I haven't seen it. It's,
It insists upon itself.
Yeah. And let's see, at TK Neurodiversity Advocate at Anti-Odyssey says, not bad, I missed the pit sketch, sadly. Well, I mean, thankfully it's on YouTube. And it says, highlight was Aerial Tramway.
Aerial Tramway emoticon.
Which I hope that emoji gets a nice boost from being on SNL.
Yeah, I feel like that sketch did more for the Aerial Tramway emoji than anything else ever has.
Yeah. I mean, that's fun. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm gonna have to see if I can use that in our write up of the episode. I don't know if we can use emojis in the write up if that would screw things up somehow. But
damn it.
If we can, I'll put it in.
Yay. Okay. And yeah, that's the episode. So not a bad episode. It was okay. Highlights and lowlights and whatnot. It was okay. It was an all right episode.
Kind of a typical episode of SNL in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
Some highs, some lows.
And so,
to the end of the show for the rest of our lives.
Absolutely. And so that's the episode. So the show is going to take a break for about 2 weeks, and it comes back on April 4th with a lineup for the ages. This one, so inspired because
this is going to be fun.
Because we're getting host Jack Black, musical guest Jack White.
Yeah.
Wow.
There was like some person who I believe on Twitter years ago just said, I want to see Jack Black and Jack White get together and do a song as Jack Gray. And I feel like we're going to see this now. So
it's happening.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. I mean, Jack Black is a fun host. Jack White is a fun musical guest.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to this.
And I looked it up, and this will be Jack Black's fifth time hosting. So, five-timer sketch, baby.
Ooh.
It's happening.
Electric money in Conan O'Brien's pocket there.
Ooh, now you're cooking. Yeah. And I also looked it up. So, this will be also Jack White's fifth time musical guesting as a solo performer. He's technically in the five timers already because he hosted four times solo and once as, you know, as the White Stripes, but this will be the fifth time as a solo artist. So
many musical guests though.
Sorry,
that does the five timers club apply to the musical guests as well?
I don't think so. I feel like it kind of should, though, but I don't know why it doesn't.
Maybe that's our hook for the sketch.
Maybe, but...
We haven't done anything with that before. Maybe we could, maybe have a whole court case about her or something.
Ooh, we could bring in a bunch of musical guests I've hosted over five times. You get Dave Grohl in there.
You know, get Paul Simon. I could probably get him.
Yeah, of course. Like, he lives with Lauren at this point.
Yeah.
They're roommates, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they are. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. They live in a penthouse overlooking Central Park.
Exactly. He's in the guest bedroom.
Yeah.
That would be something like, some type of thing where they want musical guests to be included into five timers and it goes to court Wow, I'm writing you a SNL. I hope you're listening. I'm writing you a cold open right now.
Yeah, that would be fun. That would be fun.
So yeah, so the Harry Styles episode was like for the teenage girls. This one's for the fathers of those teenage girls. It's Jack Black
and Xers. Yeah.
Yes.
And maybe the millennials.
And millennials, definitely Gen Xers.
Yeah, definitely those Gen Xers.
Yeah. So. Yeah, Jack Black and Jack White. I'm pumped for it. I'm looking forward.
It's gonna be fun. Yeah. I mean, you know, Jack. You can always count on Jack Black to bring a lot of energy and yeah. So it's gonna be fun. And hey, in the meantime, we've got the premiere of SNL UK.
Yes.
British version of Saturday Night Live.
Cool, blimey.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you're wondering who's responsible for all the gore blimey and gubna posts on the Blue Sky account about Saturday Night Live UK, I think Darren just answered that question.
That's me.
You can blame Darren for all of those.
It's me, bruv.
So, yeah, they announced their first three hosts and musical guests, and their first show is coming up next weekend on March 21st.
Yeah, so, yeah, have it up here. March 21st, debut show hosted by Tina Fey.
Yeah.
Musical guest Wet Leg.
Don't know them, but okay.
They're a British band. Like, they've had some hits here. Like, I've heard of them.
Okay.
It's like kind of indie rock. Spoken word, almost Talking Heads-ish, but not quite.
Okay, sounds cool.
Yeah, they're kind of cool.
And then, let's see, March 28th, we got Jamie Dornan, mm-hmm. who is the, what's that movie? The 50 Shades of Grey guy.
That's him.
Yeah, and then musical guest Wolf Alice.
Yes, he was also in Barb and Star Gonna Vista Del Mar, a movie we've talked about on this podcast, and that's all I'll say about that.
Yeah, better split on that movie.
Yes. And then April 4th, we got Riz Ahmed and musical guest Kazabian.
Not familiar, but okay.
Kazabian, I remember that. I think they're from the early aughts, if I'm not mistaken.
All right.
But yeah, I wasn't super well known at them. But Riz Ahmed, fantastic actor. I think he was in, what was that band, that movie he was in where he's like a deaf drummer? Or a drummer that loses his hearing.
The sound of something or other.
Yeah, the steel of sound.
Yeah.
Sound of silence.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Sound of silence. No, not the sound of silence. The silent sound. Summer of sound.
Yeah.
Sounds of sound.
You got it. You are killing this.
I'm doing great, guys. Everything's wonderful. All right. So, yeah, he was in Four Lions. It's in the Jason Bourne movie. Oh, that's neat.
Okay.
Nightcrawler, Jason Bourne. He was in Venom. Sound of Metal. That was it.
Sound of Metal.
There we go. We got there. Okay. We got there.
All right. We got there eventually. We took the scenic route.
Yeah.
Took a long way around.
Yeah, we did. Oh, it's going to be in the new Alejandro G. Iñárritu movie, Digger, with Tom Cruise.
Hmm.
Yeah, so there you got that. So pretty solid three episodes. And since the show is going to be off for the next 2 weeks, we've decided on the next episode of SNL Nerds, we're going to talk about the first episode of SNL UK. And
break that down. Yeah. Let's see how these limeys do the show.
Yeah, we'll see if they, you know, their British sensibilities and see if they can stack up to our high standards here in the States of the high bar we set with Mr. Pootie.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I believe the show's the UK show. It's going to be all original material. I don't think they're going to like adapt things from the American version.
I don't
think like that. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I think it's going to be all original stuff that's sort of catered to UK sensibilities. Cause like there is a difference in UK humor and American humor.
Oh,
like,
definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you could, there's a little bit more dry, a little bit more cerebral, right. but then they get silly too. They got like, they had like Benny Hill and shit. So, but there is a difference to it. So like, I'm interested in seeing it. I'm a big fan of British humor. I grew up on things like Monty Python and Absolutely Fabulous, Blackadder, things like that. So like, I'm really looking forward to seeing what this show brings to the table.
I mean, I'm an Anglophile from way back, so I'll be interested in seeing this. So it's going to be neat. Mm-hmm. It's going to be neat. And it'll be interesting to see an episode of Saturday Night Live with like a cast that's completely new to me. I haven't heard of any of the people they announced as cast members for the UK versions.
Yeah, neither have I. Like, I'm not familiar with the, like, SNL, not SNL, but the comedy alt scene in the UK. Like, I'm not, like, I think, who's the most, maybe Olivia Colman is, like, the most recent one I could think of that I knew of.
Yeah, so we're going to be coming to this pretty cold, you know.
Should be interesting. Yeah, and that's the episode, guys. Thanks for listening to the podcast. As always, you can follow us
on your friends about the podcast. That helps us out.
Tell a friend, tell a buddy. Follow us on the Blue Skies at SNL Nerds. Donate to the Patreon, non-productive.com. Listen to this madness on YouTube, our YouTube page we got. Mm-hmm. And as always, you can follow me on all the socials at Darren Credible, D-A-R-I-N, Credible.
And you can follow me on all the socials at Trumbull Comic. That's T-R-U-M-B-U-L-L and the word comic. And so next week, SNL UK. We'll take a little break from the US and just, you know, see how the Brits do it.
Yeah, we'll go across the pond, isn't it?
Okay, yeah, you can't
that,
do it.
You know what? I'm sorry. I apologize. That sounded wrong as soon as I said it.
I think that might count as a hate crime.
Wow. So Nick Storr is going to come after me now. Beat me with a cricket bat.
Could be.
Yeah. Real, like Jason Statham style.
Right.
Oh, you're having a laugh at us, mate. You're having a laugh. You're right.
Anyway. So next week, we're covering the premiere of SNL UK. But until then,
Aerial Tramway! Nerds out!
So, have fun with that.
Have fun, Frank.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.